Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chiefs color analyst Danon Hughes will join us coming up in 10 minutes. From my perspective, anyway, better than worst case scenario news on CEH. Andy Reid did not update the status of his running back yesterday when he met the media. But reports from ESPN indicated a sprained MCL, and it would be sidelining him for a few weeks rather than a season ender, which I think would be a big deal for this Chiefs offense. A few weeks. I don't know what that means at this point. Is it four? Is it six? Is it
That's a
two?
Very vague term.
Is it whatever? It could still linger on. I get that, but I was fearing season ender, and then, you know, you really have to kind of scramble to figure out what you're going to do in the run game. And a run game that's been evolving to the point where, well, you need it because you need to continue to do some things to offset this defense. But there's going to have to be some kind of accommodation for CEH's loss, whether that's Jerick McKinnon to step up into a bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody kind of has liked his little niche role that he's got going. But is he a fourth outfielder? Or is he a guy that can step in and play every day? I think we may find that out. Daryl Williams, I feel like, is a guy that you know what he is. He's a third down back. He's a guy that's going to give you some good pass blocking. I don't know that I can fully count on like an expanded role for Daryl Williams, but it might have to be a combination of the two moving forward.
Well, it may be a combination of two. Maybe, you know, a promotion from the practice squad for the guy that reminded him of Gale Sayers, but it's also
Derek Gore. Yeah.
There's also a point in time where you just have to look at the guys who are the backups on this team and say, okay, it's time to step up and it's time to earn your salary and maybe earn a better contract if you can go out there and play like this. And so I don't have a really tough time with asking Jerick McKinnon or Daryl Williams to go out there and perform and play and give them the opportunity to see what they can do. Andy Reid said something about it in his press conference yesterday about some of the number twos having to step up. Their backups on this roster, we trust that they can play. Well, he was referring to the defense at that point in time, but I also think it applies to what's going on here offensively. They went out and got Jerick McKinnon for a reason. They believe that he can play, and if he's one of your best 53 players on your roster, well, the opportunity's here. Same thing with Daryl Williams. Remember, you let Damian Williams go. You cut him this offseason because you believe that you had enough at that running back spot where he became an expendable guy and you were able to release him and he was able to move on to Chicago and now be the starting running back for the Bears with the injuries that they've got going on up there. So I think you've got two guys on your roster right now who you're just going to have to count on. I liken this very much to what happened a couple of years ago now. Well, not a couple of years ago now, many years ago now, when Jamal Charles went down. And I think it was during that 1-5 stretch there where the Chiefs were losing more games than they were winning, and they ended up losing Jamal Charles. And we're like, boy, a 1-5 start and no Jamal Charles, there is no way that this team can get back on the right path. Well, they did. They used, you know, who did they use, West and Ware?
West and Ware, yep.
You know, they had those guys who we had never heard of before. We had never really seen them play before. We thought losing Jamal Charles was devastating, and really, at the end of the day, it wasn't. Those guys did an amazing job filling in for the injured Jamal Charles. What's the say we can't see that situation right now filling in with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've always maintained, and the reason why I was against the pick when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire was because I thought Andy Reid always did an amazing job with rando running back you never heard of and made that guy look pretty good. Well, they got the opportunity to do that again. I'm not devastated off, with the loss of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. As good as he was performing, I liked what I was seeing. It was fun to watch him play, but I don't think, you know, the offense is over because he is out right now. I think you look at the next guy and say, all right, you got these road graders up front that like to get out in space. Let's go, man. Let's go. Follow these guys. Follow them to freedom.
Now, normally I wouldn't care either because I'm good. You know, the Chiefs throw the football over the yard, and that's fine if you're playing any defense. But because they have to accommodate the defense, it does concern me more than it would in a
yeah, I can get with that.
Normal year, like, just plug a guy in. You'll figure it out. Like, now they need to have balance.
Yeah, they do.
They can't be let's have Mahomes set a whole bunch of passing records type of offense. So that does concern me. Although I would incorporate more McCole Hardman jet sweeps, probably some more Tyreek Hill out of the backfield.
Yeah, I want Tyreek Hill in the backfield.
I think McCole Hardman's best play is the jet sweep. I mean, I think he runs that very well. It gets positive yards. I'd kind of mix a little more of that in for the next few weeks and see where it gets you. And then, yeah, you got to find out if those guys can take on more of a role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you have to give them the opportunity to do so. And again, we didn't care 2 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was, when Jamal Charles went down and we used guys that we didn't know. We shouldn't care now. Trust in Andy Reid with this offense to get a running back that's going to do a good job of filling in until Clyde Edwards-Helaire is ready to come back, whenever that may be.
Well, the Chiefs' defense getting skewered all over the place. When guys that have been accused of barely watching the game, like Stephen A. Smith and Colin Cowherd, weigh in, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah, is that how I think works? You're in more trouble though when you have former players weighing in and
yeah,
saying
maybe
things,
so.
You know?
Like Ryan Clark talking about this defense.
See, defense suck.
Amen, brother.
Period. I mean, it's period point blank. And so many times we look at this offense and we can see all the things that they can do. We get so excited with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And oh my goodness, Travis Kelce's under center. Oh my goodness, Tyreek Hill's under center. Oh, now it's Patrick Mahomes. Look at what they do. But you have to be able to stop people. And the reason that Josh Allen was ran so much last night is because they knew he was in no danger.
Right.
Wasn't nobody going to hit him. Nobody was going to be physical. There was no way that quarterback was going to be hurt because the Chiefs defense is soft. And when you're playing against a defense that's soft, you treat them as such. And that's what Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills did.
Ryan Clark, former NFL player, calling your defense soft.
You don't want to hear that, man. Nope. Like, as a defensive player, it's one thing for you and I to say stuff and they can just go, you don't know, you never played the game. Well, now you got a guy who played the game calling you soft. Soft is the worst thing you can call somebody.
Yeah, so Bill Self uses it for his ultimate
basketball team. Yeah. That's his ultimate insult.
We've seen that for a long time.
In sports, calling somebody soft is the worst thing you can call them.
Okay. I think it starts up front. You think it starts up front? Andy Reid asked about the guys up front, the pass rush.
Andy, I'm just wondering, 5 games into the season, what's the biggest issue you see right now with your pass rush, particularly with your guys up front?
Yeah, well, you know, the third quarter, we were able to get more pressure on the guys. I mean, they worked through it and got it done. To that point, we probably weren't getting enough pressure on the first half. I'm saying with the front four. But, again, they worked through it and kind of figured it out and got it done. We just got to do that a little bit quicker, Nate, as we go.
He keeps pointing to that third quarter, Bob, and I think that third quarter showed him – some things about this defense. Now, on the flip side, he's also not happy with the offense not taking advantage of that defense kind of figuring out. But he's mentioned that third quarter now a couple times where almost like that's the picture of more of what I want to see.
Yeah, well, they tell you in life to always celebrate your successes. This defense has not had many successes this year other than that third quarter. And so I understand why Andy Reid is saying, look, the third quarter, you guys were good. You did what you wanted. We wanted you to do. You go back and you show them the film of that third quarter and say, look at what you were doing on this play. This is why you were successful. Now, let's do that in quarters 1, 2, and 4, as well as the third quarter, and we got something cooking here. I think right now with this defense, you inside that building have to be as positive as you possibly can, positive reinforcement, show them what they did good, and hopefully they pick up on that and it carries over and they can play 60 minutes of good football at some point this season. Because if they do and they're able to put it together defensively, team will be hard to stop. But if they continue to go out there and put up numbers that are on pace to be the worst defense in the history of the National Football League, then they're not going to win a lot of football games. And we're all going to be looking at this going, what in the hell went wrong?
So the defense does have injuries. We haven't seen really Frank Clark and Chris Jones on the field together much for one reason or the other. They've been banged up in the secondary with Charvarius Ward now missing multiple games. You've had Willie Gay playing his first game back. It's there, but is it impacting the overall performance or maybe the expectation?
We've never used injuries as an excuse. We've won big games without big players at times, and so I expect the next guys to step in and do their job. As far as the coaching goes, well, yeah, you set certain things up for certain players. I mean, that's what you do. You try to utilize the player's strengths and work them into the game plan and go from there. So if you're down a guy, then you're not going to have that part. But I expect somebody else to jump in and go.
He's kind of describing what I was talking about last week, Bob. Mm-hmm. My bar is, and I'm waiting for these guys to come back and this guy to come back and go play. Like, yeah. here's who's here, and I think there's enough depth, and I feel like there's enough talent that I shouldn't expect a massive drop off in let's wait and see when so and so is back.
No, you can't that do
mentality
that. No.
With this defense. This defense has to step up.
Yeah, the money guys have to play, man. You're making some good change on this defense. You got to play like you're making
like
it.
The money guy for sure. Like Chris Jones needs to be back and back soon.
Yeah.
Frank Clark needs to stay. Yeah. You know, those two for sure. But a lot of other spots, I'm like, I need you to play. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're interchangeable per se, but I'm at expectation level too deep that this team should be good enough to be better than what, 7.1 yards per play?
7.1 yards per play.
I don't want to know that number.
I never even knew that number before this year. Like I never looked at that number.
I don't want to know that number now.
Well, you do. That's not a good thing.
You hear him game days on 106.5 The Wolf with Mitch Holtis.
I think teams recognize now the greatness that the Kansas City Chiefs are.
And you hear him on Players Only on Thursday night starting at 6.
If you're going to load the box and you're going to play bump and run man-to-man, you need to have receivers that can create separation.
It's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes on Fesco in the Morning on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Brought to you by Ben Franklin Plumbing, the punctual plumber.
Well, this week on Players Only, Danan, last week you were giving Sean Barber a lot of static for this defense not being good, and he wanted to turn around and say, what about the offense a little bit, because you're an offensive player. I think you're going to have to take some of his ribbon this week, because as bad as the defense is, my man, this offense is still doing things that are so uncharacteristic, like turning the ball over and punting.
Yeah, you know what? It was frustrating. I think, you know, when you have center stage and everybody in the football world has an opportunity to see you play and you're trying to show that, you know, you lost to the Chargers earlier this season, lost to the Ravens, were just treated as a blip on the screen, that, you know, there's a lot of season left and we don't have the weaknesses that seem to be glaring right now. And then you go and you play this type of game where the defense did not show up, offense was pressing. And I'll go back, I say, 3 weeks ago, I had the keys to victory before the game. Mitch and I do this segment right before kickoff where I talk about the keys.
And Josh.
We do the keys to victory, and my last one was to push but don't press. And there's a difference when you're pushing. That means you know you're moving at your pace. You are creating the tempo and the flow of the game, and you're not trying to put up a 9-point touchdown. You know, something that's impossible. And what I see in some of these games, especially the two games where we had the 4 turnovers, one, we didn't get any turnovers or takeaways from our defense, and two, there was a level of like we were trying to press. And this team can't press. Patrick Mahomes can't press with some of those throws. We have to be smarter with the ball because we're not at a point where we can overcome deficiencies of the defense right now. We've had to do that in the past. The AFC Championship loss season, 2018, we had to take up for the defense a lot, and we did it. 2019, not so much, but we still got it done. 2020, not much at all. We still got it done. Now this is a different defense. They are presenting themselves in a different way, and teams are approaching the Chiefs in a way that's different. They are rolling the dice. They are not going to sit back and punt the ball and let our offense get into a flow. They are taking some chances, and we haven't been able to step up to that.
Dan Sorensen certainly been kind of the lightning rod for change. If somebody wants a change, like, oh, get Dan Sorensen out of there. I don't know if that's the magic potion or not, but personnel wise, are there some spots that they could use some tweaking?
Well, we had a bright spot. We had Willie Gay Jr. on the field for some solid defensive snaps, and I saw glimpses of what we thought we would get from him based on his training camp and preseason. Speed on the field. Nick Bolin, he's been exposed at times as a rookie, mainly in the passing game. And you guys have heard me say this, and even though we had two Super Bowl runs and a Super Bowl championship, when you guys have heard me talk about the defense, it's mainly been about the linebacker position. And I think that's where some of our deficiencies are. And what the problem we have is that Daniel Sorensen is a more physical defensive back than Juan Thornhill, than Armani Watts, and therefore they utilize him at closer to the line of scrimmage as kind of a hybrid linebacker. Now, that's worked in the past, and it's just not working now. And I think if we had a healthy Willie Gay Jr., if we had a healthy Frank Clark and Chris Jones, there could be an opportunity where you would just see Sorensen in package defenses as opposed to a mainstay in defense. He was on the field as much or more than everybody else on the defense. And I don't know if he brings that, if that's what he brings to the table that's going to help the defense and him be successful. Playing man-to-man coverage on a tight end, bump and run at the line of scrimmage, quite honestly, that's his best chance. He's got to be as close to the receiver as possible up front and try to be physical with him, because if he gives up any space like he did late in the game with Stephon Diggs, who ran right past him, that's going to be a cause for huge issues for this defense. So there's some limitations there that I think, unfortunately, because our other linebackers aren't really stepping up and being playmakers, they're being tacklers. Nick Bolin can go into the game leading the team in tackles or being atop the team in tackles. But like, you have to look at that stat and say, okay, well, where are those tackles being made? It's not so much about having the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about where those tackles are being made. Sorensen was leading the team in tackles coming to the game. Well, do we remember a significant tackle that he made this season?
No.
At or near the line of scrimmage? No. So that's where I'm not big on the stats. It's about guys being playmakers, and I think our linebackers are not where they need to be.
Yeah, and I can't disagree, but how much of that do you then look at the defensive line not doing their job to not allowing the linebackers to be playmakers? Because that's what I look at right now. Like, this defensive line is just bad, and they're not doing anything to give their linebackers a chance. How does that area get better, Damon?
Yeah, you know what, and that's tough to quantify, Bob, because here's the deal. A really good defensive lineman might not have the stats. Like, he might not have Jaron Reed. There could be, if you dissect the film, he could be just taking on multiple linemen and leaving the linebackers free to shoot gaps, take some chances, like we saw with Derek Johnson throughout his career, hitting running backs and ball carries at or in the backfield at the line of scrimmage. And we don't see that. Now, I do think that in situations where you have Derek Nnadi and Jaron Reed, two big body guys, Colin Saunders being another one, just take up a couple of guys so that's one less guy that gets to the second level and blocks Hitchens and Ben Neiman and those guys. But what I'm seeing is guys at the linebacker position, they're flowing and they're giving up field as they flow sideways towards the ball carrier. So picture this. I line up pre-snap at 4 yards off the line of scrimmage, 3.5 yards off the line of scrimmage. By the time I get near the ball carrier, I'm 6 yards off the line of scrimmage. Now, part of that could be that the defensive linemen are not getting penetration and holding up the offensive line from getting downfield. But part of that also could be slightly indecision on when those linebackers are recognizing run and getting downhill to the ball carrier as opposed to just scraping sideways. I think it's a combination of all, but I think the most glaring part also is the lack of pass rush, which you guys were talking about before I came on. But it all starts with the guys in the trenches. Those seven guys have to be in sync. Has to be, you know, like water polo almost, where they're all in sync together doing their job. And big plays happen when one guy is trying to do somebody else's job. You're seeing linebackers trying to do defensive end jobs. Defensive end trying to do tackle jobs. And then you open up a huge gap where you get gashed.
Synchronized swimming would be what you meant, not water polo, but I'm not a very strong swimmer. Dane and Hughes, Chiefs color analyst, joining us here. CEH, I guess best case scenario would be a few weeks rather than a season type of injury, but we saw some progression in the run game. How does this impact that, and how do they fill the gap?
Well, you know what? I think it's next man up. We've seen that in Andy Reid's career, not just here with Kansas City. When you go to Deuce Staley and Brian Westbrook, and when Shady McCoy came on, it was always about a 1-2 punch. When he came to Kansas City, it was always when you guys were talking about it earlier. Jamal Charles goes down. You got Spencer Ware and Tre'Kendrick West that come in. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you know, before that, you have Williams, and the Williams, both Williams coming up and making plays at the running back position. It's truly about the next man up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like Darrell Williams' running style with this offense. I think he's more violent as a runner. He may not be as shifty as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's more violent as a runner. And if you're trying to take some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes, having a violent runner like Darrell Williams could bode well for us. And then having a complement like Jerick McKinnon, who can be a receiver out of the backfield and can create some mismatches against opposing linebackers.
Danan, good luck with Barber on Thursday night.
Be listening at 6 o'clock. I hope you give him some static again.
He also took a strike in Survivor, so you can start there.
Oh,
if you'd
that's
like.
Right. You need to start there. Give him static over that.
Defending champion.
Oh, Barbershop got knocked out?
Yeah, he got a strike.
No, he's still in, but he's taking a loss.
You know, he's hanging on by a thread right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna fill my arsenal. I'll be ready for him.
Good. I can't wait.
Danan. Chiefs color analyst Danan Hughes joins us each and every Tuesday at 8:30, but also Players Only Show with Danan, Sean Barber, and company Thursdays at
great
6.
Show. Great
here
show.
On 610 Sports Radio. They needle each other well.
Oh my gosh, and Barber does not take it all that good. You can hear him getting so mad, and Danan is just so beautiful with it. It's just so beautiful to listen to Danan just needle at him, and Barber getting mad, and Danan just subtly taking another shot at the defense.
Andy Reid lets us know, be careful what you wish for, and a new feature we think you're going to like. Next.
I mean, my God, they're awful.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We'll be right back. careful what you wish for. You want to be at the top of the heap. You want to be hunted. Chiefs have found themselves in that spot, and now we're in the midst of, like, Redemption Tour 2021.
Yeah.
Where everybody's kind of getting theirs right now.
Mm-hmm.
At least the Ravens, the Chargers, and the latest example, the Bills. Getting everybody's best shot is something that on paper it's like, yeah, we're going to take everybody's best shot. No big deal.
Okay.
It's, you know, it means we're good. It's great. But then you find out if you get their best shot and you don't win, it becomes kind of a problem. Andy Reid was asked if it's become a burden.
I don't think that's a burden. I think that's a plus. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in any different position than that. As are the guys that have been here before. And now you've got an influx of new guys. So they weren't here the last year or two. So we're not speaking the same language there. They're not feeling the same feelings that way. So I think everybody, we just all need to rise our game up and have that same urgency to get things done.
Can we play Andy Reid translator here for a minute?
Okay.
Is he trying to say that the new guys aren't coming to the party the way that they need to be because they're not used to being the hunted every week? Because that's what it sounds like to me. Like, what that sounds like to me is Andy Reid's going, it's not the guys that have been here before. It's some of these new guys we brought in. They don't get it. They don't get what's going on here in Kansas City. And I think it's hard to get what goes on in another city if you don't live there or play there.
That also falls to leadership.
But also falls to the leadership of this organization. Yeah. Like, why aren't they schooled on, you know, what's going to happen and up to speed on where they need to be? That, to me, falls on Andy Reid. I mean, as the coach, and really it falls on Brett Veach, too. Because when you're interviewing guys in free agency or before the draft and you're trying to figure out if they're going to be a good fit, don't you think that you would bring up the fact, look, there are no off Sundays here in Kansas City. What we do every single week, every quarter, every minute of every game is battle. We get everybody's best effort. Are you aware of that? Do you understand that? Do you understand how to play when everybody is giving you their best effort on every single game? Because probably at your college or where you were before here in Kansas City, there were weeks where you didn't see the best effort out of everybody. It's like when a guy grounds the second in May and he doesn't run it out, people scream hustle. You only got so many, you know, runs hustles down to first base in you. You don't want to waste it in that situation. And I'm sure there are guys that played for other teams and colleges that are here that there were off days that they didn't get everybody's best effort because they weren't the team that everybody wanted to beat. And so when I hear Andy Reid say that, that's a reflection to me, as you said, Josh, on leadership, but more importantly, the vetting process of bringing somebody in here. Are you prepared to have to play 100% on every single play? Like they always say, no plays off. That legitimately is the truth here in Kansas City. Some guys just aren't cut out of that mold to have to go out there and give 100% on every single play. You got to vet your players better if that's what Andy Reid's saying.
But also it falls on the locker room too. They have to establish that here is our expectation. Here's our bar.
Mm-hmm. But some guys aren't able to meet that expectation, Josh, where they're not able to bring it every single week like you need them to do. Some guys just don't have that. That's not their makeup. That's not who they are. You got to find a way, though, to vet that out. And I think that has to be an important part of the vetting process moving forward when we're looking at bringing new guys into this organization. Are you truly ready to compete on every single play of every single game of every single year that you're under contract here? Because if you're not prepared to do that and you think you're going to take a playoff here or a playoff there, you're screwing the entire team. We don't have time for that right now.
It's your Andy again.
I don't think that's a burden. I think that's a plus. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in any different position than that.
Mm-hmm.
As are the guys that have been here before. And now you've got an influx of new guys. So they weren't here the last year or two.
I think that's an interesting comment by Andy Reid. The guys that have been here understand what it takes. The new guys, they don't got a clue.
But I don't know that gets sorted out in the vetting process because you realize you're going to have to bring in everything. Yeah, sir.
I think you can get a lot from somebody.
And they got to get in that locker room and those guys got to go, no, you don't understand. They're doing laps around our stadium when they beat us and they're treating it like a Super Bowl on a Sunday night when they're beating us and they're bringing in their former players to to rev up their team before the game when they're playing us. And we beat them in the AFC Championship. They're going to come back and they're going to be pissed and they're going to flex on us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. This is what has to happen here. So I think initially you gotta find the right mentality when you're picking them, but also when they get into that locker room, it's got to be hammered home.
And really laying out the expectation too, Josh, for what you expect when you come here to Kansas City. This is not playing in Jacksonville. Okay. There are different expectations right now here in Kansas City than there are in Jacksonville or Carolina or New England or some of these other places, you know, that are struggling right now. The expectation is completely different. And when you bring in a guy who was on a franchise that didn't have those expectations week in and week out like the Chiefs have had for the last 4 or 5 years, it probably is a big wake-up call. And they need to get on board real fast to realize we're expected to win every play. Not just every third play or every other play, or I can take a playoff here or a playoff there. We're expected to win every single play. And quite honestly, right now, Josh, this team has to win every single play. There's not a lot of room for error right now.
No, there's not. There's not. The compete level has to be up because you've seen it. If you didn't know it already and you're a newbie on this team too, then you know it now.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those three teams that beat you.
Right.
And the pleasure they got out of sticking it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not have been here when you had the other side of it, but you're here on this side of it, and you better understand that there's probably a few more coming.
Interesting from the text line from the 913. Which new guys could this be directed to besides Jaron Reed?
I don't know.
I mean, Josh Gordon's a new guy, but he's obviously not been part of what's gone on for the first couple
Nick
of weeks.
Bolton?
But
maybe
Nick
Bolton.
But I think Nick Bolton has played pretty solid.
I feel like the offensive line compete level's been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe because Frank Clark took last year off. Maybe they're directing it at him. I don't know.
He was here last year.
Oh, he was?
He was.
Oh, I missed that.
He was here last year.
Joe Tooney? But he comes from a winning organization.
Yeah, I don't think Tooney or Brown would fall in that category.
Oh.
Those both came from...
Yeah, that's right.
Competitive team
mm-hmm.
type atmosphere.
It could be Brown, though. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Oh.
You just got to look at some of the new guys that they brought in and just start trickling down a little bit and saying, it affects all of you guys. Play better.
Perform like you care.
Texas A&M should pass the hat today. And I think they would raise this money in about 2 seconds.
Oh, they're paying money to buy out coaches. I'm sure you can scrounge this change up.
So they got a $100,000 fine for field storming after beating Alabama.
Which is the dumbest thing ever. Why are we fining universities for celebrating big wins? That looked awesome. I like when you storm the football field.
I am pro court storm, pro field storm.
And I don't have an issue with it.
I've always been in this camp. But the SEC has a fine that it levies upon its teams. Big 12 does too, but you know, just don't see any.
Right.
I'm in the same camp as bat flipping. Like if you don't like it, then don't lose.
That's the other thing.
Big 10 does not. And if Iowa would have came to me and said we need $25 to it, I'd have chipped in a heartbeat. To see the fans storm the field the other day.
Mm-hmm. Like that being said though, like it's always seemed odd to me that it would be completely out of place and we wouldn't like it in professional sports, right? Like I understand that typically traveling teams like the fan bases don't necessarily come in such droves as they do in college, but like there is something to be said about the idea that in professional sports, this would never happen.
No.
I don't like this at all. Hell, we get upset when opposing fan bases just sit in the stadium.
How cool would it be, though?
I'm actually worried about safety in the professional ones. College ones, I don't feel like that's the case. Maybe someone, you know, there was that.
Why?
That Nebraska kicker that, like, went and punched somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I feel like. Jerry Kilotter getting concussions.
Yeah,
I feel like too many people at pro games would take a shot at somebody.
Yeah, well, there may be that. Yeah. There may be that. But I
you
how
don't
cool
need to be on the field to do that.
But how cool would it have been to celebrate some of those Royals wins or Chiefs big playoff wins with all the fans out on the field? I think that would have been cool. I think it would have been awesome to have, like, just a sea of fans and everybody enjoying themselves. Like, pro fans, you guys are right. They don't even think about going onto the field. Like it doesn't even cross their mind to storm the field. But in college, you get a big win like A&M did, man, you're taking down the goalposts.
They stormed the court one time in Detroit. That got ugly.
Yeah, that's true.
That did not go so well.
Yeah.
People say we don't talk enough hockey.
What people?
On the show. People. No. Hockey people. The NHL season is starting tonight.
It's
gonna drop the puck tonight.
Yes. Fall puck at its finest.
So we're gonna
Was this in the news?
Well, it is because ESPN has it now, and they've talked more fall puck this morning than they have baseball playoffs, to put that in perspective.
You want your sport to get some pub? You put on ESPN.
Put it on ESPN.
You do.
Every time I've looked up at ESPN, there's something going on with the Kraken.
So we're going to give it a minute. Jason Katz in the newsroom has today's edition of Puck Off.
It's now time for the NHL's long-anticipated return to ESPN with a doubleheader later on tonight. The defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning give head coach John Cooper a 3-year contract extension. The Lightning host the Pittsburgh Penguins, puck drop at 6:30 p.m., followed by the highly anticipated NHL debut of the Seattle Kraken, who named 38-year-old defenseman Mark Giordano as their team captain. They take on the Vegas Golden Knights, puck drop at 9 p.m. In other news, a pair of centermen receive massive paydays. First, the Florida Panthers gave Alexander Barkov 8 years and $80 million. Plus, the New York Rangers and Mika Zibanejad ink an 8-year, $68 million extension. In a recent interview, Washington Capitals winger Alexander Ovechkin tells ESPN's Kevin Weeks that he's not concerned with becoming the all-time leader in goal.
Your minute. Wow.
That is your.
You're going to get a minute on hockey.
Minute
that's,
of.
That's all you're getting. Off.
Oh, 1 minute. And that's
1 minute, man. If he goes over, the horn blows and we're on to the next.
When
so there's.
Gets pucks, he pucks hard and fast.
Yes, he does. That, we so. Know that. All so right. There's all the hockey news you need leading into opening night of the NHL. But it is going to be in your face now on ESPN.
Yes.
And that's good. I'm a big fan of hockey. You know that. I'm a big fan of the sport. ESPN legitimately helps grow the sport.
That was a puck off with Katz. A former NFL player uses a dirty word when describing this Chiefs defense. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.